As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that he has done for us, for allowing us to see this wonderful Lord's Day. There have been times in our lives where we have changed many of things. We have changed jobs. We have changed the places where we live. We have changed our lifestyles.
Amen.
So we move to a new place, we get a new job, and we have a new life. But when we really look at the aspect of a new life, and I was listening to Brother Brown this morning in the comments that was being made from class, reference to worldliness, and how we are supposed to present ourselves, and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. When people look at us as being children of God, they look at us, and Brother Brown mentioned the first impression is a lasting impression. They look at us, and they may make the statement, you are not the same as you used to be.
Amen.
And in many, many cases, Brother Simmons, that's a good thing.
Amen.
That we are not what we used to be. We're who God wants us to be, or we're striving to be that person that God wants us to be. Somebody new. Somebody new. When you hear this from time to time, you're acting brand new. That may not be a good thing, because you're acting like you don't know. And we are not supposed to act brand new. We're supposed to be brand new.
Amen.
A new life in Christ. A do-over, if I may use that terminology. We have an opportunity to do some things over, not act the way we used to act, but do them over. We can't go back and change anything, but we can make sure that we do what God wants us to do. You have been given an exam to take, and you take that exam, and you don't do as well as the teacher may have thought that you should have done. So they give you another opportunity. I'm going to give you one more chance in order to improve your grade. A lot of times we can look at that teacher and we say, don't waste your time. I didn't study the first time and I'm not going to study the second time. But when God has given us this opportunity to be redeemed, to have a new life, we need to accept that.
Amen.
We need to accept it. So we go and we find again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17, talking about somebody new. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress. Going even to the point of respecting other people. All those things have changed in our lives. If they have not changed, you haven't changed. And there needs to be a change. If you call yourself a child of God, there need to be a change. There need to be a change that is recognized by the outside world. They need to know who you are. You don't have to say a word. They look at you and they can tell who you are. Your actions, they can tell who you are. If you say that you are a child of God and you're still going to the club on Friday and Saturday nights, something hasn't changed. If you're still using profanity, something hasn't changed. If you're still out there in the streets when you need to be home, something hasn't changed. That something is you. You haven't changed. You haven't changed because you did not want to change. See, we have to have a desire to change. We have to have a mindset that we're ready to change. And when we walk down that aisle or wherever we were and we made that confession that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we were baptized for the remission of our sins and we rose out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life, that was a choice that we made. And we have to continue to make choices every single day. We have to make choices that are pleasing to God. Let us continue to do what is right. We look at this and we examine it. We should no longer live for themselves or for ourselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Who are we living for? We're living for Christ. We're living for Christ. People should see Jesus in us. In everything we do, people should see Jesus. But it's not like that, is it? Because people are making that statement, you're supposed to be a Christian. And here's what they do from time to time. They push our buttons. They want to make sure that we are who we say that we are. So they push buttons to try to get us to fall. And from time to time, you know what we do? We do fall. I have brought to the remembrance of some people. Before I was ever a Christian, there was a lifestyle that I lived that you don't want to see. And I was honest with that person because I was hot with what they were doing to me. But I had to remember that I am a child of God. Amen. That there are certain things that I should not do. And so therefore, I have to, and we're going to get into that on Wednesday night, I have to discipline myself. I have to maintain my composure. I have to maintain who I am and who I'm supposed to be representing. So we have to do the things that are right. So no longer are we living for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again. You see how I changed that from Paul writing to the church of Corinth to us? Because we have to make this personal. Because Christ didn't just die for the church of Corinth. He died for all of mankind. That's what John 3:16 teaches us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a new life in Christ. All outside of Christ are dead and without hope. If you're here today and you have not put Christ on through baptism, you are dead and without hope. There's nothing God can do for you in the end. But He knows my life. He knows how I'm living. He knows my heart. He knows that you have not put Christ on through baptism. Why? Because He knows everything. Amen. He knows everything. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We have to look at this and we have to realize who we used to be. And I believe that was pointed out this morning in class 2. When we look at people, we remember who we are or who we were. And we remember how someone came to us and they talked to us about God's word. See, the church of Ephesus here, they couldn't have never put Christ on if they had never been told about Christ. So he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Well, a little bit further than verse 1, because we need to understand that when we were dead in our trespasses, we walked a certain way. We walked in a way that wasn't in accord with God's will. It wasn't in a way that was going to bring honor to God, but dishonor. He said, you are the sons of disobedience. The spirit, looking at that evil spirit that people possess in them, because that's what they want. They want people to look at them as being a bad person. They're not trying to change. But those of us that have been made alive, we realize the importance of being new. We realize the importance of not going back and doing those things that we have done in the past, but we keep moving forward. And we need to continue to do that. Ephesians chapter 2, dropping down to verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope and without God. If you realize what this is saying here, you have no hope and you don't have God. You don't have Him. God is not on your side. God can't help you right now because you have not helped yourself. You have to do what God wants you to do. Yes, He's looking. He's looking at each one of us right now, whether you're in Christ or out of Christ, and He is willing to help every one of us. But if you do not put Christ on, there's nothing He can do for you. Nothing He can do for you. But if you decide to put Him on, He can save you. He can save you. See, it's sad when the bus driver comes by to pick people up, and that person is standing out there and it's pouring down raining, but they don't have their fare. And the bus driver says, "I can't let you on." And I know some say, "Well, you can get on that bus," and they can't put you off. But there are some hardcore bus drivers out there saying, "I'm not letting you on here. I don't care if you're getting wet. You do not have the fare. You cannot get on." Come to end, if you have not put Christ on, God is not going to let you into heaven. Don't care how much you're begging. I don't care how much you want to be there with Him in His presence throughout all eternity. You're not going to get there because you have no hope and you have not God. So we have to believe in His Word. We have to believe that He is the Savior of this world and that He is able to do anything that He puts His mind to do because of the promises that He has made. Let's examine ourselves this morning and see if we are really somebody new or if we're still that old person. Life and hope are in Christ. Life and hope are in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's death and there's no hope. But in Christ, there's life and there is hope. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, when we talk about putting Christ on, and we talk about this all the time, and there's a reason we talk about it all the time, because it's necessary, for us to put Christ on in order for God to be pleased with us. I can tell you again how to live a life that is good. Don't do that. That's the wrong thing to do. Don't go over there. That's the wrong place to be. But if I never tell you how to get into Christ, it doesn't do me any good or do you any good to hear about all the things that you need not do and all the things that you need to do. We have to tell people how to put Christ on, and in order for the way they live in, if it's a good way to be acceptable unto God, they need to put Him on. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Is that too hard to understand, too hard to accept, that if you have not put Him on through baptism, you do not have Him? You're not one of His children. You're not heirs to the throne along with Christ because you have not put Him on. We love to be accepted. This is my family right here. I love this family right here. But if you do not continue to follow the order of that family disowns you. If you have not put Christ on, you're not part of that family. And when you mess up, then you're put out of that family. Then you have to come back and you have to get that right. But as many as Paul says here, "For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So you're not a child of God if you have not put Christ on. You're not a Christian if you have not put Christ on. We want to be accepted unto Him, so therefore many of us have put Christ on and we're living the way we're supposed to. We're not looking at that old life, but we're looking at the new life and we're walking in a new way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verses 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and the verses 13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." One body. Many walks of life we have come from. And the reason we have come from many walks of life is because we've come from different people, different places, and we have lived in different ways. But one of the things that we realize when we read this scripture here, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jesus told his disciples, you go and make disciples of all nations. So no matter where you are, no matter where you come from, you can be a child of God. And when you become a child of God, you're baptized, or for by the one Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, you are baptized into one body. One body. So now we're part of one family. One family. And we have this new life again in Christ. We have hope. That hope that we're looking forward to is that God is pleased with our actions, and that in the end, He is going to allow us to come into heaven. He's going to allow us to enter into this great kingdom, this place where the Bible says there are many mansions or many rooms, a place where we will never have to depart. No sorrow, no pain, no crying, no dying. It's a great place to be, is it not? See, a lot of times people say, go to a happy place in your mind. There's nowhere happier than this place right here, the place that's called heaven. But you have to be obedient unto God to get there. You have to have been baptized into Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 5, as Jesus talks to Nicodemus here, the Bible says he's the ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. Didn't want anyone to see him coming to him. We have people like that today. I don't want you to know that I'm studying God's word. I don't want you to really know who I am and who I represent or who I'm supposed to represent. So therefore, I'm going to act any kind of way I want to. Nicodemus went to Jesus. We'll start with verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into or enter the kingdom of God. Unless, most assuredly, as it says there, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I believe that people think that again, since Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world, there's nothing that they have to do. Here, Jesus teaches Nicodemus, there is something that you have to do. You have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's not, well, Nicodemus, don't worry about it. No, nowhere do you see when someone asks a question about salvation that someone looks to them in Scripture and say, don't worry about it. Jesus has already done it all. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus, don't worry about it. I'm going to be crucified for the sins of the world. You don't have to do anything to change. Everything is going to be okay. Jesus didn't tell him that. Just as Peter didn't tell those people on the day of Pentecost, there's nothing you need to do. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to be pleasing unto God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the verses 17. We have to understand this aspect of being new. And we have to know that when we are new, we can't go back to those old ways and think that God is going to be pleased with us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. You know, many times we think about what's new in our life. You know, what's different in our lives. And we sit down and we go through these things. And sometimes we say, there's nothing. There's nothing new in my life. And you wonder why things are not happening to your benefit. Because you have not changed. See, we have to change some things. And we have to understand what being new is all about. It's living for Christ Romans chapter 6 and the verses 4. Romans chapter 6 and the verses 4. Again, we have to put Christ on in order to be this new person, to be this new creature or this part of this new creation. God wants us to be new. He wants us to get rid of the sin that we have in our lives, and he wants us to walk according to his will. So we find in Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1, Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, the Bible says, therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We might walk in newness of life. Don't walk the way you used to walk. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't dress the way you used to dress. You're a new person now. Act like you're new. Act like you're new. That you're somebody different. And people, again, are going to see this. You don't have to say a word. They will see this. And when they see it, hopefully they will say, I want to be new as well. Tell me how you made this transition. What made you want to change? When we wake up in the morning and we find ourselves in a place where we should not be, we should say right there, I need to change. I was talking to a man many years ago that was said, you know, I woke up one morning and I was in a ditch. Didn't realize how I got in that ditch, but I was in that ditch. But he realized by being in that ditch that he needed to make a change. And his wife helped him make that change, because after he got out of that ditch, he went home and she said, you come home drunk one more time, your bags are going to be on the porch. He loved his wife. He loved the place where he lived. You know what he quit doing? He quit coming home drunk. He made a change in his life. He realized that instead of, you know, talking about his wife going down to the place where she worshiped, that he needed to go down to the place where she worshiped, and he needed to hear the word of God, and he needed to make a change in his life in order to keep his marriage together. And he did those things, not just to keep his marriage together, but to get his life in order that he may be able to be pleasing in the sight of God. He understood the newness of life when it was taught to him. He made a change. And there are many other people that need to make a change. What is there about being in Christ that's new? What is it? It's a lot about being in Christ that's new. We have a new master. We no longer serve sin. We have a new master. You know, a lot of people don't say, I don't have a master. I don't have anybody over me. Christ is over us. If you're a child of God, Christ is the head, and we need to submit to the things that he wants us to do. Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 24. Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice in your life. What do you want to serve? You want to serve this world or you want to serve God? It's a choice that we make on a daily basis. Why do we make it on a daily basis? Because we are faced with things on a daily basis. If you do not put the whole armor of God on before you leave the house, you will fall. You will begin to serve another master, or the old master, and not a new master. The new master being Christ, the old master being the devil. So we have to put that whole armor of God on, as Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, in order to quench every fiery dart, every temptation that comes our way. We can reject temptation. Being tempted, that's not a sin. Giving in to that temptation, that's the sin. Now the person that's tempting you, he is in sin or she is in sin, but you have not sinned if you have not given in to it. So we need to make a choice. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. There is no way. No way. Matthew 23 and the verses 10. Matthew 23 and the verses 10. See, we have to know who our master is. See, we got a lot of people that love their job more than they love God. They love their family more than they love God. They love the world more than they love God. Well, who is your master? Who is your master? Your master is the one that you serve. It said, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. One is your master. So we have to understand the importance of knowing whom we serve. Do you know this morning who you serve? Do you know who Christ is? And then again, as Brother Farrell used to say, does Christ know who you are? Well, I would venture to say he knows exactly who you are. But does he know you as being one of his children? That's the thing that we have to understand. You don't want to hear, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I know you not. Which says this, that he don't know you because he has known the way that you lived. Let's do what's right and become one of God's children and understand what it means about being in Christ that's new. Let us look at that and examine it. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and the verses 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and the verses 10. The young lad by the name of Samuel was hearing this voice calling him. And here's what it says. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. He understood who his master was. Had to be told to him. He didn't really understand. I didn't call you. That's what was told to him. I didn't call you. Next time you he calls you, you say, speak, for your servant hears. Do you hear God this morning? Do you hear God calling you? Calling you to be new, to be somebody new, different from your old lifestyle. Do you hear God calling you? He calls us by the gospel. He calls us by his word. It's not a still voice where many people will say, God has spoken to me. How did he speak to you? How did he address you? See, we have to look at the scriptures and we have to know that this is how God talks to us. This is how God teaches us how to be somebody new. It is by his word that we can read. And it's just not for you only. It's for each one of us. What is there about being in Christ that's new? The Bible says he gives us a new name. A new name. We find in the book of Romans chapter 7 in the verses 4. Romans chapter 7 in the verses 4. See, there are many people that have been married have been given a new name. There's some people that were born and there was a name put on their birth certificate and they get old enough and they say, I don't like that name. They go down there and they get a name change. They have a new name. But you can rest assured that when you get in trouble, they want to know every alias name that you have ever had so that you can be matched up with some crime that you did way back when. But we have a new name when we become children of God. If he don't go back, God does not go back and say, well, you remember when you did that way back when? No, those things are gone. They're gone. And we have to remember that. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, it says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Married to another. You know, we got some people you hear from time to time. They're married to the block. What does that mean? That means that's where they hang out all the time. They're committed to the block. And when you don't see them on the block, you say, what happened to them? Hopefully, they were married to another and they came to Christ and they got their lives right. But sometimes they have moved from one block to another block. They're committing adultery on that block. Now they're down here on this block. See, we can't be wishy-washy like that. If you're going to be dedicated to the block, be dedicated to the block. But if you're going to be dedicated to God, be dedicated to God. Amen. This new name, we have to understand who we're married to. When we are married to Christ, we are given a new name. A new name. In the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and the verse 2, was prophesied long before any of us was ever thought of. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. Which the mouth of the Lord will name. So again, God gives this name. He gives this name. And I believe that many times when we look at this and we examine it, there are different views from it about this new name. But what it really boils down to is being a child of God. Being part of the family of God. Being recognized and identified as a child of God. That's really what it boils down to. So we find here in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the people in Antioch, when they began to call the disciples of Jesus Christians, it wasn't a good thing at that time. But this is what God wanted to happen. They were called Christians, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That's scripture in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Now, there are many things when we look at being a Christian, there are many things that people do not agree with. There are many things that people are not going to accept. There are many times where people are going to talk bad about us and do bad things to us. But we find in 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses 16, 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. When people talk bad about you, or you want to say, I'm glad I am a Christian. I'm glad that I'm not who I used to be. I'm glad that I decided to follow after God. Amen. I want you to think about that just for a moment, because Jesus, when he was on the cross, he could have very well came down, but he did not. He stayed right there. They talked about him. So what makes you think you're any better? That you should not be talked about, that you should not suffer. Jesus suffered. We too should suffer. And it says, if we suffer as a Christian, let us not be ashamed. We should say, man, I'm glad. You know, when people are talking about you and they're always saying good things about what you're doing and about who you are, you need to go back and examine yourself. And you actually need to go back and examine your friends. Examine the things that you're saying, because from time to time, somebody needs to say something bad about you. Somebody needs to say, you know, I don't like that person because of who he stands for or what he stands for. Those people that don't want to change their lifestyle. But if you're friends with everybody, you're friends with the world, remember what James chapter 4, verse 4 says. If you are friends with the world, you're enmity with God. So we can't be friends with the world. We have to tell the world, and we have to stand up for the world, for the word of God, and let them know who we are and why we're living the way we're living. What is there about being in Christ that's new? A new law, a new law. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 31:31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. A new covenant, not the old, a new covenant. You know, when a new covenant is made, well, there need to be a change. You need to accept that new covenant, that new law, and you need to abide by it and do the things that are right. And that's exactly what Jesus came to give us. In Hebrews chapter 8 and the verses 8, Hebrews chapter 8 and the verses 8, behold, finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. You know, as Jeremiah prophesied that, and then the writer here at Hebrews is saying the same thing, we understand now that this has come to pass, that there is a new law. And Christ is the one who made that law to become into effect by giving his life. Hebrews chapter 9 and the verses 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, by the resurrection of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. May receive the promise of eternal inheritance by being obedient, not to the old law, but to the new law. But to the new law. Romans chapter 8 and the verses 2. Romans chapter 8 and the verses 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Made you free. Now, if you're still out there in the world, if you have not come to Christ, you're not free. You are not free. You are still bound to sin. You're still a slave to sin. We want you to give up that sin. We want you to do what's right. We want you to come to Christ and realize that it's the new law that we need to be following. Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 2. Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. You know, loving your neighbor, helping your neighbor, assisting your neighbor when he needs some help. We need to do this because it is part of the new law. But a lot of times when you go in again, as we stated this one in class, it's really nothing new. It's stated here in the new law, but he says you do this in order to fulfill the law of Christ. To fulfill the law of Christ. Again, Jesus didn't come to teach anything different. He came to teach what the Father wanted him to teach. He didn't say, I'm going to change this because it sounds good. No, he changed some things because that's what the Father wanted him to do. And we have to accept those things. James chapter 1 and the verses 25. James chapter 1 and the verses 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This one. Now, if you're looking in the perfect law of liberty and you're not making any changes, you will not be blessed. See, we always have to look at the opposite end of it. You will be blessed if you do it. You will not be blessed if you do not do it. So are you blessed this morning? Are you one of God's children? Are you willing to continue to do the things that God wants us to do? Well, again, ask yourself the question, what is there about being in Christ that's new? It's a new life. Romans chapter 6 and the verses 4. We already read that. A walk of newness of life when you come up out of that watery grave. Colossians chapter 3 and the verses 9 through 10. If you go and read the book of Colossians chapter 3, it talks about a new life in Christ. And what we have to do when we look at this new life in Christ, we put off some things in order to put on some things. You put off the old man and you put on the new man. Just like when you get a new set of clothes, you put them old clothes over there and you put the new clothes on. Now, a lot of times when we look at that and we do that, we go back and we look at what's under those clothes. And we have to say, you did not take a bath. You did not do what you're supposed to in order to put those new clothes on. So we have to go back and we have to examine our lives and make sure we're who God wants us to be. New life, a new life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 25. Chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Then you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man. What you're doing now is you're being who God wants you to be, how God created you. He created men upright. He created men holy. We corrupt ourselves. So therefore, we have to go and we have to get rid of what's corrupt and we have to put on what's right. Put on what God is pleased with. That new man. Again, he says, what was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. If he says there's true righteousness, there must be some untrue righteousness out there. Which life are you living? Which life are you living? 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 1 and 2. In order to be pleasing to God, there are some things that we must do. Just because you've been baptized doesn't make you who God wants you to be. There's still some growing that needs to take place. 1 Peter 2 verse 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we got some Christians that are not growing. They're not desiring the sincere milk of the word. They're not growing because they don't want to grow. You try to feed them, and what do? They close their minds. I don't want to hear that. What you're trying to tell me is I need to make a change. Yes, you need to make a change. That's what Peter says right here. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. You lay aside those things. When you lay it aside, that you don't just gently lay it there and say, I'm going to come back and get you later. Don't go anywhere. No. You lay it aside and you forget where you laid it and you keep moving forward. We need to understand the importance of doing the things that God wants us to do. What is there about being in Christ that's new? A new way of living. A new life. A new life. Hebrews 10, 19 through 21. We're just going to read this first verse here. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness of the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. Jesus did this. He made it possible for us to come before God and ask God to forgive us for our sins. Ask God for what is right. Thank God for what all he has done for us. We can approach him. We can approach him. Because now we're living a new life. We too are priests, and we can live in a manner that God is pleased with. We can do whatever in the scriptures that says for one Christian can do, we all can do if we are who God wants us to be. Again, there are different roles, but we have to understand the basic things all of us need to be doing. All of us. Our responsibility. Again, we have to, Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of Psalm is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. How important is that to you? That you assemble together to stir up in the next man unto love and good works. To assemble together that we may worship God in spirit and in truth. As much more as you see the day approaching. You know, you hear people saying, man, this world is coming to an end. Look at all these things that are happening. And what happens when people hear that? They're moving in the opposite direction of what they need to be moving in. Need to be drawing closer to God instead of going away from God. We have no idea when that day is coming, but we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you a new creature in Christ? 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We're looking for that place. We're looking for it. Can it be found? Yes, it can be found. Can you be found to be there? Yes, you can be found to be there. But you have to be a new creature in Christ. Nothing old is going to get there. You have to be new. You have to have Christ in your life. You have to have lived a faithful life. And you, my friend, you may be able to be around the throne throughout all eternity by doing the things that God wants you to do. As we close, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ready to be revealed in the last time. There's no one that is in heaven except for the one that descended from heaven. God is there, Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. And you know, we can be there too, come the last day. If we have done what God wanted us to do. If you have not, if you are not a new creature in Christ, and you die in your sins, you're not going to be able to get to heaven. There's not going to be an exception. You know, people say that. Well, you know, again, God knows my heart. I believe he's going to let them in because they was a real good people. They were good. Did they do what God wanted them to do? It was good to you, but they were not good in the sight of God. The one that did not believe that baptism saved is the one that's not going to get to heaven. The one that believes that being faithful until the very end is not going to get to heaven. The one that has not changed, the one that did not grow, is not going to get to heaven. So we have to do what's right. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God and you want to become one, come make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, rising to walk a newness of life, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the truth, continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to do those things. Die faithful. Die faithful. Live faithful and die faithful. You'll be able to get to heaven in the end. But if you're here and you're straight away and you're still in that sin and you don't want to get rid of that sin, and you die, you're not going to get to heaven. So if you're here and you're committed a sin and you have not confessed that sin, do so. Do so. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your faults, he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So make it known what you have done. Ask God to forgive you and live a life that is pleasing to him. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.